sink the ship. Ching, ching. Find the gold. No prisoners.
Ah, glad to make your acquaintance. Any friend of Hawkins here? Ah!
Careful, Billy. You have to look both ways.
These blasted carriages driving around with no horse-like ghost ships.
Unless there's another weirdo running around dressed like Captain Hook, I'm guessing that...
Billy Boat!
We love stories!
It's time for the Appleseed, some time just about every day filled with stories for you and your family. I'm Sam Payne, your host, and what a pleasure it is to have you with us today. We're always thrilled when you can join us to bring some of these stories into your homes and into your hearts. And we are so excited about what's coming up, not only in this hour of the Appleseed, but over 10 full hours of the show in which we'll bring you every exciting chapter of Treasure Island 2020. The swashbuckling, time-traveling, serialized adventure retelling of Robert Louis Stevenson's classic novel, Treasure Island. The series was produced with our partners at Gen Z Media, the terrific serialized audio creators behind series like The Unexplainable Disappearance of Mars Patel and 6 Minutes, and you should for sure check out all of their other stuff at their website, bestrobotever.com. Now, we think Treasure Island 2020 is a lot of fun, and we're not the only ones who think so. It was nominated for a Peabody Award, which is just awesome. The Peabody Award recognizes excellence in broadcasting, and it's been around since 1941. We're so proud and happy to be included among the incredible nominees. So let's get ready, yeah? Ready to bend the fabric of time itself for the sake of pirate adventure. And maybe a good place to start is to read a tiny bit of Howard Pyle's book, written in 1921, called The Book of Pirates. Pyle was an illustrator for children, and his drawings and paintings of King Arthur and his knights, and of Robin Hood and his merry men, of famous buccaneers and pirate scenes, well, they captured the imaginations of kids everywhere. And when he compiled his book of pirate stories, it began like this. Why is it that a little spice of deviltry lends not an unpleasantly titillating twang to the great mass of respectable flour that goes up to make the pudding of our modern civilization? And pertinent to this question, another. Why is it that the pirate has and always has had a certain lurid glamour of the heroical enveloping him roundabout? To make my meaning more clear, would not every boy, for instance, that is, every boy of any account, rather be a pirate captain than a member of Parliament? It is to be apprehended that to the unregenerate nature of most of us, there can be but one answer to such a query. Well, that's a fancy way of saying that we've always loved pirate adventures. And you're going to love this one. Whether you're a boy or a girl or a grown-up or a kid, each episode of Treasure Island 2020 will leave you hungry to know what happens next. And we're going to get to Chapter 1 in just a minute, right after a quick break. You're going to meet Billy Bones, James Hawkins, and all their friends. Stick around. I'm Sam Payne.
You're listening to The Appleseed. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome back to The Appleseed. Here's Sam Payne.
It's great to have you back with us on today's episode of The Appleseed. Yet it's time to jump right in to Treasure Island 2020, the time-traveling, swashbuckling adventure based on Robert Louis Stevenson's classic novel, Treasure Island. And as we get ready to begin, we just want to remind you that while we'll bring you a heaping helping of pirate adventure in each of 10 full hours of the Appleseed, if you just can't wait to find out what happens next, and we wouldn't blame you if that were the case, you can Google Treasure Island 2020 and find the whole 10-part series as a podcast and binge the whole thing like a buccaneer come ashore with his pockets full of doubloons to a town full of turkey legs and root beer. And now, away we go, right here on the Appleseed, Treasure Island 2020, Episode 1.
Hold steady, crew. Quiet.
I can't see anything through the fog, Captain.
They're out there. Pirates. Waiting.
What do we do?
Stay quiet. Maybe they'll float on by.
But what if they come aboard?
If they come aboard, start saying your goodbyes.
What was that?
Steady. Steady. Hold. Swords at the ready.
Attack! Take the ship! No prisoners! Find the gold!
YouTube. Come to dinner.
Coming, Mom. See you later, pirates. Arr, take the ship. Ching, ching. Find the gold. No prisoners.
James, what did I say about pirate swords and the dinner table?
Broccoli, pizza. Seriously, Mom?
And don't even think about picking it off. Good mothers make their kids eat veggies, and I'm the best. Everyone tells me so.
Right. I eat every soggy stock.
Attaboy. Hey, listen, after dinner, I need you to change out the bedding in rooms 8 through 15 in case we get guests for the weekend.
Tonight? But I was gonna go exploring on the beach with my metal detector. Pretty soon, all the summer people will be out in Montauk, and the beaches will get crowded and...
And you'll still be stuck helping me keep the motel afloat.
That always said, when you see adventure, grab it by the hand.
I know you think your father was the adventurous one, and I'm the one with the rules.
What is that? Sounds like an armada. Hand me Dad's spyglass.
James, where are you going?
To see what's going on out on the water. Look at all those boats. What are they doing out there? What's with all the searchlights?
Keep searching. In the air, something's happening tonight. I feel it in my bones.
They must be looking for something in the water.
Or someone.
James. James, what are you doing?
Heading to the beach to get a better look.
Why are you taking your backpack and your metal detector?
Dad said, always be prepared for what you're not prepared for. I won't be late. Can't see anything out there. Oh well. Maybe we'll look for some buried treasure. Come on, metal detector. Let's find some treasure. Mom could use some good news. Must have been so much cooler on this beach hundreds of years ago. Just the sea and the sand. Why is the ground shaking? What's that noise? Whoa! What was that?
No, no, you won't catch me.
Who said that?
No, no.
You, down there on the beach. Did you see what just happened? It was like the sky exploded and... Hold on, I'm on my way. Hello? Mister, can you hear me? Did you wash up on the beach? Where did you come from?
The sea! The sea!
You're a pirate!
BYU Radio presents Treasure Island 2020, a reimagined audio adventure based on the classic novel by Robert Louis Stevenson. Episode 1, Billy Bones.
Okay, not weird at all. The sky lights up, like the biggest lightning ever, and the guy dressed like a pirate is lying on the beach and... That's it. Just keep leaning on me. We're almost there. Good thing I had water in my backpack. I'm James, by the way. James Hawkins. What's your name?
Billy. Billy Bones.
Billy Bones?
Where am I?
This is my family's motel. The Admiral Benbow. Right on the ocean.
The ocean. solution.
Roger the turret!
No! No, please, James! Hide me!
Do you know who's on those boats out there?
Flint! No, it couldn't be.
Come inside. I'll get you towels.
James? Where have you...
Mom, this is Mr. Bones.
Billy Bones. Where be the man of the family?
You're looking at her. James, can I talk to you? Okay, where did you find this person who's dressed like a pirate and dripping water all over my office?
Oh.
He was lying on the beach. He must have fallen off the pirate party boat, the Jolly Roger. He's really out of it.
Want me this?
I can see that.
Sorry.
Can we give him a room?
We're not running a charity.
Yeah, Billy Bones pays his own way.
Are those real gold coins?
You calling me a liar, boy?
No, of course not. I just want to help you.
Just a moment, Mr. Bones. James, tell me how you found him again.
Does it matter? Mom, let's face it. The vacant seaside has been on for 2 weeks. And I know we're behind on payments to the bank.
James.
What if those coins are real?
That's what I'm afraid of.
What?
One night, Mr. Bones.
Yes!
I'll be needing a view of the sea in case they come looking for me.
Here you go, Mr. Bones. Room 13.
13? 'Tis a bad omen, it is.
Okay. If you need Wi-Fi, the password is Benbo hashtag 18.
What's a Wi-Fi? And what's this square box made of glass?
The TV? I know it's not big, but it gets most of the channels. Here's the remote. Just push this button.
Damn! What sorcery is this?
I can change the channel.
How did all those demons get in there? Ah! Come out, G! You hated spawn!
What are you doing?
Come out and face me!
You'll smash the TV! Here, I'll turn it off!
Thank you.
Mr. Bones? Billy? Where do you come from?
Out there.
You said someone was looking for you. Are you in trouble?
What's it to you? Mm. Are you one of them, boy? Have they made you sign the oath in blood?
No, sir. I mean, I just want to help.
Aye. You seem like a good lad, James. And I'm in your debt. But I'm weary from army travels. Let me get 40 winks, and tomorrow you'll tell me more of this strange new land of yours.
New land?
Here, take these coins.
But you already paid my mom.
Keep a lookout, young James. Keep a lookout for the one-legged seafaring man.
One-legged seafaring man? Okay, good night. Billy Bones.
Yeah.
The forecast, showers and thunderstorms today with strong...
How's your new friend?
Sleeping.
You should do the same. I'll finish locking up.
Mom, are there still pirates in the world?
Well, if you've seen our tax bill this month...
I mean real ones. Like... with parrots and peg legs and buried treasure.
Buried treasure?
Yeah, the kind worth a fortune. Enough to save the motel.
James.
Uh-huh.
We're gonna get through this. I know sometimes it seems like the burden is too much, but we'll make it. Together. We have to.
But Mom.
Go to bed, sweetheart. And try to dream about something less adventurous.
Huh? What's that? Way to go, James. Scared by a branch scraping against your bedroom window.
Are they out there?
Ah! Mr. Bones, what are you doing in my room? Don't come any closer.
Answer me, boy. Are they out there?
Is who out there?
Dim, that's who. I'm as good as dead if they find me. That's why I had to swim for it, before they cut me throat from ear to ear.
Who's after you? Why?
Gold. More gold than you can dream of in 1,000 years. It's all right here. Right here, on a dead man's chest.
A tattoo! It covers your whole chest!
Hear me, lad. It's more than a tattoo. It's a map. The map of an island. And there in the center, marked by a cross as red as blood, is where you'll find the treasure. 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 Treasure.
Billy? Mr. Bones? It was just a dream. Right?
And now, a word from our sponsor. Enjoy the memorable trip of a lifetime with Jolly Roger Cruises. Book a vacation on our boat. We'll give you deluxe accommodations on a hammock below deck. Wow. Eat tasty meals consisting of fish. And other fish. And once a week, you'll get a citrus fruit so you don't get the scurvy. Enjoy activities like swabbing the deck and swabbing the deck some more. It's very exciting.
Oh, boy!
Schedule your trip today. Jolly Roger Cruises. Arr! And now, back to the show.
Who's there?
It's me, Mr. Bones. James.
Are you alone?
Yes, of course. Can I come in?
No.
But I need to ask you...
Where's me key?
Your key to the room? It's this car right here.
I'm talking about the key I had round me neck.
Key? But I...
If you stole it, I'll turn you inside out until I find it.
I don't have it, I swear.
Where is it? Where the blast is it? I must have lost it on the beach. Find it and bring it to me. I'll make it worth your while.
First, tell me who you're afraid of and why.
Find it, I said, and be quick about it, or you'll find me a grave man. A grave man indeed.
Your eggs are getting cold, James.
Sorry, Mom. I'm in a hurry. Hand me my backpack.
James? Where are you going?
Fear not, brave lady. I'm bound for adventure! And to find the missing key! That key must be here somewhere. Unless someone found it first. Oh, great. City Kids Surf School.
Listen up, dudes. You gotta learn to paddle before you can surf.
He should not have said that.
Oh, man.
Is that a metal detector?
For finding buried treasure, or whatever. Why are you sitting here playing a video game when everyone else is learning to surf?
Because, unlike my sister Morgan out there on the board, I prefer to see my 13th birthday. I'm Max. Max Goodwin. No, don't. Take that one. That wave is too big.
Not bad. Why didn't she learn to surf like that?
That would be today. Morgan's a fast learner.
You see that, Maxie? Told you I could do it.
Hey, no, don't get sand in my glasses.
Sorry. Oh, hey, Max, you made a friend. Oh, my twin brother isn't bumming you out too much. He's not good with the outdoors.
Twins?
Fraternal, not identical.
Obviously.
And you are?
James Hawkins. I saw you surf. You're good for a city girl.
The water does all the work. I just have to stand up. So you live here year-round? What's it like?
Quiet. We used to live in Brooklyn while my dad was designing the new Statue of Liberty Museum.
On Liberty Island? I heard it's opening soon. Cool.
So you moved because he finished the project?
No. He died.
Oh. I'm really sorry.
Yeah. My Uncle Harold gave us an old motel to run, me and my mom.
That was nice of him.
I guess. It's barely surviving, but at least I have the beach.
And your metal detector.
So, you're renting for the summer?
Our mom and dad run a big financial company in the city. They pretty much work all the time, even in the summer, so they sent us to spend a couple months here with our Aunt Martha.
They sent you away?
No. They sent us here for culture. Martha's planning all these amazing activities to help us grow.
To keep us busy, you mean. Next up, French cooking class with a real French chef.
That does sound boring.
Exactly! What about fun? What about adventure?
That's what I'm looking for.
Come on, Morgan. Today we're making pot de crème.
Sounds adventurous to me. I'm going back to my search.
So long, Hawkins. Maybe we'll see you around.
I found it! I found the key!
Okay, it's a big old brass key. So?
So it belongs to a pirate!
A pirate?
Come on, I'll show you! Hi, Mom. This is Morgan and...
Nice to meet you both. James, make sure to change the sign outside to no vacancy.
Seriously? As in, every room is booked?
I'll explain later. Your new friends can help you bring our guests fresh towels.
Let the adventures begin.
Max!
Come on, I'll introduce you to Billy Bones.
What's with the giant backpack, Hawkins?
I carry it with me everywhere. It's got a flashlight, compass, first aid kit, lots of other adventure stuff. Always be prepared for what you're not prepared for.
That makes no sense.
It makes total sense. My dad... Never mind. This is Billy Bones' room.
Your pirate is staying in room 13.
You're not superstitious, are you?
I don't believe in superstition. Or pirates.
I'm not saying he's like a real pirate, although he dresses like one. But this key we found buried in the sand is real enough. It looks like it could open a treasure chest. Hello? Mr. Bones? It's me, James. James Hawkins.
It's okay, Hawkins. We can meet your pirate friend another day.
Like, maybe never.
Wait, I'm telling you, he's staying here and... Someone's coming to the door.
Hello.
Wait, you're not...
Can I help you, son?
This is your pirate in a black suit.
I've been called worse. Kincaid's the name. You must be Jim.
James.
Your mother was kind enough to rent out the motel to me and my team for a few days. This is my associate, Lena.
Charmed.
Whoa, look at all the equipment they've got in there. The thing that looks like a stingray, that's a ZX-3000 underwater drone. It could go all the way to the bottom of the ocean.
My brother knows his drones. He made one for the citywide science fair. One first prize.
Smart kid. Yes, we're explorers. Isn't that right, Lena?
Yes. Explorers of the sea.
The boats with the searchlights.
What was that, son?
Nothing. Is that a map of Liberty Island on the wall?
I don't see why that's your business.
Hawkins, didn't you say that your dad worked at...
No.
So, Jim, your mom said you're a friend of the former occupant. Mr. Bones seems to have checked out before we arrived. You wouldn't know where we might find him, would you?
Not a clue. Never even talked to the guy.
Really? Because your mother gave me the impression that you invited him to stay here.
What's that you're holding behind your back?
Nothing. Just something we found on the beach. Driftwood. Enjoy your stay, Mr. Kincaid. Come on, guys. Do me a favor, Max. Reach into my backpack and grab the N and the O for the no vacancy sign.
You keep the letters in your pack?
I keep everything in my pack.
Why did you lie to that Kincaid guy, Hawkins?
I didn't lie.
You kinda did.
Last night, before I found Billy on the beach, there were these military-style boats. They were searching for something in the water.
You think they were looking for Billy Bones?
Whoa, check out that black SUV. Tinted windows, all the bells and whistles. A serious machine.
I have a feeling I know who's driving it.
Hello again, kids.
Something else I can help you with, Mr. Kincaid? Extra towels, maybe?
My associates and I are headed back to our laboratory. Lena, hand the young man our business card.
Here you go. If you happen to run into your friend, Billy Bones, give us a call.
Look at those vanity plates.
A skull and crossbones.
Let me see that business card. High Seas Underwater Search and Recovery. I knew it. He's the Frank Kincaid.
Who's Frank Kincaid?
He and his team roam the world, seeking sunken ships and lost treasure. They call themselves explorers. Other people say that they're modern-day pirates.
Pirates?
Whatever they find on the ocean floor, they take for themselves.
I had a dream last night. Billy came to my room, and he said there was a treasure. He was terrified that someone was after him.
So?
So what if it wasn't a dream?
You don't think.
I think we need to find Billy Bones before Kincaid's pirates do.
Arr, welcome aboard the Jolly Roger. This is your skipper, Captain Davy Jones. Step right up the gangplank, me hearties.
Excuse me, sir?
Sorry, kids. You gotta be 21 years of age or older to board the Pirate Fun Cruise. It's the law.
It's the law. It's the law.
Robot Parrot, how original.
We're looking for a pirate.
Then you've come to the right place. But step aside so the passengers can board.
He calls himself Billy Bones.
Never heard of him. Batten down the hatches, mateys. We're going to party like it's 1799.
$17.99.
But he's a member of your crew, right?
Listen, kid, I don't know any Billy Bones, and if the cops catch you on this tub, I lose my license. Now beat it.
Beat it.
Billy Bones doesn't work on the Jolly Roger. Why was he dressed like that?
Morgan, we're going to be late for Chef Louis.
Look! There!
That storefront with all the old stuff in the window?
That's Mr. Arbuckle's antique shop.
Unless there's another weirdo running around dressed like Captain Hook, I'm guessing that...
Billy Bones!
Sorry, man. I get fake doubloons all the time.
This is Spanish gold, you cur. As real as I am.
Billy!
James, lad. Tell this son of a sea dog who I be.
That's Billy Bones, Mr. Arbuckle. A guest of the Admiral Benbow Motel. He's a sailor.
And a cook.
Max!
Shh.
Well, you and your ma have been good customers. I suppose I can give him something for these coins.
What be this green paper money?
That would be cash.
Looks worthless to me.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Arbuckle.
Is he all right, James?
I was nearly killed getting my hands on this gold. It's an insult, it is.
Let's get out of here.
Green paper. Who is that in the picture?
What?
Where are you taking me, children?
Yeah, no, let's not bother the conroper anymore.
I must be satisfied.
Hello, Mr. Kincaid? It's Arbuckle, from the antique shop. That guy you were looking for, the pirate? He was just here.
Billy, there's something I need to tell you. When I went to your room before...
First things first, lad. Who are your mates?
Billy Bones. I'm Morgan Goodwin, and this is my twin brother, Max.
Arr, ahoy there, matey.
Max?
Ah, glad to make your acquaintance. Any friend of Hawkins here? Ah!
Careful, Billy! You have to look both ways!
These blasted carriages, driving around with no horse like ghost ships. And the giant mechanical birds are even worse.
You mean the airplane?
Is he completely out of his mind?
That's what I'm trying to find out, before Kincaid finds him first.
Who's that you say?
Frank Kincaid.
Is he a friend of yours? He asked if we knew where you were.
What did you tell him?
Nothing. He gave us this card. Here it is.
Turn over the card, lad. The black spot.
But what does it mean?
It's their final warning. What Captain Flint couldn't do to me, they mean to finish.
Who's Captain Flint?
Who's Captain Flint? Of the cursed ship, the Walrus. Just the bloodiest buccaneer who ever sailed the seven seas. And now this Kincaid knows where I came from. If they catch me, my life won't be worth a broken sand dollar.
Is it about the treasure?
What treasure? Who said anything about treasure?
You did. In my dream. But it wasn't a dream, was it, Billy? It was real. As real as this key we found on the beach.
Give me that! Now you listen to me, James Hawkins, and the rest of you too. Forget you ever heard the word treasure. Forget the name Billy Bones. You never met me.
Sounds good to me.
Stop it, Max.
Billy? Where do you come from?
I fled the one-legged man. But once I was at sea, a great storm came as if it was from nowhere. And the swirling sea did her best to swallow me alive.
Swallow you alive?
James, look! Kincaid's black SUV is headed this way.
The skull and crossbones. I'm done for!
Why, if it isn't Billy Bones, you're a sight for sore eyes.
And you're the devil himself. Stay away from me. Stay away, I say.
No, no. We just want to ask you some questions about the map and about the vortex.
Did he say vortex?
We have to help Billy.
Stop walking away, Billy.
I know what you want, but you'll never get it.
Get in the car with us.
Never! Get away, I tell
Billy,
you!
Billy, watch out! There's a car!
Billy!
Quick,
Billy.
Back in the car.
Billy! I've got you. You're gonna be okay, Billy.
The treasure. Fine. The treasure island.
But where is it?
Not where, lad. When?
Episode 1 of Treasure Island 2020, the time-traveling, swashbuckling, serialized adventure in 10 parts, right here on the Appleseed. What's going to happen to Billy Bones, to James and his friends? What's Mr. Kincaid got up his sleeve? And what's this vortex we heard about? Well, you hardly have to wait at all. The next episode of Treasure Island 2020 is coming at you quick as a wink. But if you can't wait, and again, we wouldn't blame you, you can find all 10 episodes to listen to right now. Just Google Treasure Island 2020 or head to wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Now, Treasure Island 2020 is based on Robert Louis Stevenson's classic novel, Treasure Island, which was like the Harry Potter of its day, right? And it's still a really cool read. And we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to hear a little about the original adventure. And we're also going to have a chat with Ben Strauss, whose company, Gen Z Media, partnered with us to create Treasure Island 2020. It's coming right up. I'm Sam Payne.
You're listening to The Appleseed. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome back to The Appleseed. Here's Sam Payne.
It's great to have you back with us. on today's episode of The Appleseed. Before the break, you heard part one of Treasure Island 2020, a retelling of the classic Robert Louis Stevenson novel Treasure Island. We met our heroes, James Hawkins, that is, and his new pals, Morgan and Max, and we even met the mysterious Frank Kincaid, who seems to want something with a map and a vortex. And we left Billy Bones muttering about the secret to the location of Treasure Island being not so much where it is, but when it is. You can hear the next episode of Treasure Island 2020 before you even have time to ponder that for very long. But if you can't wait, you can find the entire series ready for you to listen to right now if you like. Just Google Treasure Island 2020 or find it wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Now, if you know the story of Treasure Island, you can already tell we're having some fun with it, right? We've added a bunch of characters and given a spin to others. Take Billy Bones, for example. You met him in episode one of Treasure Island 2020, and it's his showing up in the story that really starts the adventure off. In Treasure Island 2020, James finds Billy on the beach after Billy comes through the mysterious vortex, a visitor from another time. In Robert Louis Stevenson's novel, Billy Bones shows up at the Admiral Benbow Inn, mysteriously looking for a place to lodge, and he winds up staying there for months with a mysterious sea chest up in his room that no one has ever seen him open. He spends his time drinking and telling stories of the sea to anyone who will listen. In the opening chapter of the book, Billy doesn't tell anyone his name. He asks that the folks in the Admiral Benbow call him the Captain, and he pays James Hawkins a little bit each month, a four-penny piece, to keep an eye out for a one-legged seafaring man. But why am I telling you the story myself? You could hear it in the very words of Robert Louis Stevenson. Let's read a bit, shall we? You'll learn in the very first words of the book that it's written as if James Hawkins himself were writing it, sometime after the whole adventure is over. Here's how Robert Louis Stevenson introduces Treasure Island and the mysterious Billy Bones. The first chapter is called The Old Sea Dog at the Admiral Benbow, and it goes like this. Squire Trelawney, Dr. Livesey, and the rest of these gentlemen, having asked me to write down the whole particulars about Treasure Island from the beginning to the end, keeping nothing back but the bearings of the island, and that only because there is still treasure not yet lifted, I take up my pen and go back to the time when my father kept the Admiral Benbow Inn, and the brown old seaman with the saber cut first took up his lodging under our roof. I remember him as if it were yesterday, as he came plodding to the inn door, his sea chest following behind him in a handbarrow, a tall, strong, heavy, nut-brown man, his tarry pigtail falling over the shoulders of his soiled blue coat, his hands ragged and scarred with black broken nails, and the saber cut across one cheek, a dirty, livid white. I remember him looking around the cove and whistling to himself as he did so, and then breaking out in that old sea song that he sang so often afterwards. 15 men on a dead man's chest, yo-ho-ho, and a bottle of rum. In the high, old, tottering voice that seemed to have been tuned and broken at the capstan bars. Then he rapped on the door with a bit of stick like a handspike that he carried, and when my father appeared, called roughly for a glass of rum. This, when it was brought to him, he drank slowly, like a connoisseur, lingering on the taste and still looking about him at the cliffs and up at our signboard. "This is a handy cove," says he at length, "and a pleasant situated grog shop. Much company, mate?" My father told him no, very little company. The more was the pity. "Well, then," says he, "this is the berth for me. Here you, matey," he cried to the man who trundled the barrow, "bring up alongside and help up my chest. I'll stay here a bit." He continued, "I'm a plain man. Rum and bacon and eggs is what I want. And that head up there for to watch ships off. When you might call me Captain. Oh, I see what you're at there.
And he threw down 3 or 4 gold pieces on the threshold. "You can tell me when I've worked through that," says he, looking as fierce as a commander. And indeed, bad as his clothes were, and coarsely as he spoke, he had none of the appearance of a man who sailed before the mast, but seemed like a mate or skipper accustomed to be obeyed or to strike. The man who came with the barrow told us the mail had set him down the morning before at the Royal George, that he had inquired what inns there were along the coast, and hearing ours well spoken of, I suppose, and described as lonely, had chosen it from the others for his place of residence. And that was all we could learn from our guest. He was a very silent man, by custom. All day he hung around the cove or upon the cliffs with a brass telescope. All evening he sat in a corner of the parlor next the fire and drank rum and water very strong. Mostly he would not speak when spoken to, only look up sudden and fierce and blow through his nose like a foghorn. And we and the people who came about our house soon learned to let him be. Every day when he came back from his stroll, he would ask if any seafaring men had gone by along the road. At first, we thought it was the want of company of his own kind that made him ask this question. But at last, we began to see he was desirous to avoid them. When a seaman put up at the Admiral Benbow, as now and then some did, making by the coast road for Bristol, he would look in at him through the curtained door before he entered the parlor. And he was always sure to be as silent as a mouse when any such was present. For me, at least, there was no secret about the matter, for I was, in a way, a sharer in his alarms. He had taken me aside one day and promised me a silver fourpenny on the first of every month if I would only keep my weather eye open for a seafaring man with one leg, and let him know the moment he appeared. Often enough, when the first of the month came round, I applied to him for my wage, and he would only blow through his nose at me and stare me down. But before the week was out, he was sure to think better of it, bring me my fourpenny piece, and repeat his orders to look out for the seafaring man with one leg. How that personage haunted my dreams, I need scarcely tell you. On stormy nights, when the wind shook the four corners of the house and the surf roared along the cove and up the cliffs, I would see him in 1,000 forms and with 1,000 diabolical expressions. Now the leg would be cut off at the knee, now at the hip. Now he was a monstrous kind of a creature who had never had but the one leg, and that in the middle of his body. To see him leap and run and pursue me over hedge and ditch was the worst of nightmares. And altogether I paid pretty dear for my monthly fourpenny piece in the shape of these abominable fancies. But though I was so terrified by the idea of the seafaring man with one leg, I was far less afraid of the captain himself than anybody else who knew him. There were nights when he took a deal more rum and water than his head could carry, and then he would sometimes sit and sing his wicked old wild sea songs, minding nobody. But sometimes he would call for glasses round and force all the trembling company to listen to his stories or bear a chorus to his singing. Often I have heard the house shaking with yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum, all the neighbors joining in for dear life for the fear of death upon them, and each singing louder than the other to avoid remark. For in these fits, he was the most overriding companion ever known. He would slap his hand on the table for silence all around. He would fly up in a passion of anger at a question, or sometimes because none was put. And so he judged the company was not following his story. Nor would he allow anyone to leave the inn till he had drunk himself sleepy and reeled off to bed. His stories were what frightened people worst of all. Dreadful stories they were, about hanging and walking the plank and storms at sea and the dry Tortugas and wild deeds and places on the Spanish Main. By his own account, he must have lived his life among some of the wickedest men that God ever allowed upon the sea. And the language in which he told these stories shocked our plain country people almost as much as the crimes that he described. My father was always saying the inn would be ruined, for people would soon cease coming there to be tyrannized over and put down and sent shivering up to their beds, but I really believe his presence did us good. People were frightened at the time, but on looking back, they rather liked it. It was a fine excitement in a quiet country life. And there was even a party of the younger men who pretended to admire him, calling him a true sea dog and a real old salt and such like names, and saying there was the sort of man that made England terrible at sea. In one way, indeed, he bade fair to ruin us, for he kept on staying week after week, and at last month after month, so that all the money had been long exhausted. And still, my father never plucked up the heart to insist on having more. If ever he mentioned it, the captain blew through his nose so loudly that you might say he roared and stared my poor father out of the room. I have seen him wringing his hands after such a rebuff, and I am sure the annoyance and the terror he lived in must have greatly hastened his early and unhappy death. All the time he lived with us, the captain made no change whatever in his dress but to buy some stockings from a hawker. One of the cocks of his hat having fallen down, he let it hang from that day forth, though it was a great annoyance when it blew. I remember the appearance of his coat, which he patched himself upstairs in his room, and which, before the end, was nothing but patches. He never wrote or received a letter, and he never spoke with any but the neighbors, and with these, for the most part, only when drunk on rum. The great sea chest none of us had ever seen open. He was only once crossed, and that was toward the end, when my poor father was far gone in a decline that took him off. Dr. Livesey came late one night to see the patient, took a bit of dinner from my mother, and went into the parlor to smoke a pipe until his horse should come down from the hamlet, for we had no stabling at the old Benbow. I followed him in, and I remember observing the contrast, the neat, bright doctor with his powder as white as snow, and his bright black eyes and pleasant manners, made with the coltish country folk, and above all with that filthy, heavy, bleared scarecrow of a pirate of ours, sitting far gone in rum, with his arms on the table. Suddenly he, the captain, that is, began to pipe up his eternal song. 15 men on the dead man's chest, yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum, drink and the devil had done for the rest, yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum. At first I had supposed the dead men's chest to be that identical big box of his upstairs in the front room, and the thought had been mingled in my nightmares with that of the one-legged seafaring man. But by this time we had all long ceased to pay any particular notice to the song. It was new that night to nobody but Dr. Livesey, and on him I observed it did not produce an agreeable effect, for he looked up for a moment quite angrily before he went on with his talk to old Taylor, the gardener, on a new cure for the rheumatics. In the meantime, the captain gradually brightened up at his own music, and at last flapped his hand upon the table before him in a way we all knew to mean silence. The voices stopped at once. All but Dr. Livesey's, he went on as before, speaking clear and kind and drawing briskly at his pipe between every word or two. The captain glared at him for a while, flapped his hand again, glared still harder, and at last broke out with a villainous low oath. Silence there, between decks. Were you addressing me, sir? Says the doctor. And when the ruffian had told him with another oath that this was so, I have only one thing to say to you, sir, replies the doctor, that if you keep on drinking rum, the world will soon be quit of a very dirty scoundrel. The old fellow's fury was awful. He sprang to his feet, drew and opened a sailor's clasp knife, and balancing it open on the palm of his hand, threatened to pin the doctor to the wall. The doctor never so much as moved. He spoke to him as before, over his shoulder, and in the same tone of voice, rather high, so that all the room might hear, but perfectly calm and steady. If you do not put that knife this instant in your pocket, I promise upon my honor you shall hang. Then followed a battle of looks between them. But the captain soon knuckled under and put up his weapon and resumed his seat, grumbling like a beaten dog. "And now, sir," continued the doctor, "since I now know there's such a fellow in my district, you may count I'll have an eye upon you day and night. I'm not a doctor only, I'm a magistrate, and if I catch a breath of complaint against you, if it's only for a piece of incivility like tonight's, I'll take effectual means to have you hunted down and routed out of this. Let that suffice." Soon after, Dr. Livesey's horse came to the door, and he rode away. But the captain held his peace that evening, and for many evenings to come. The very first chapter of Treasure Island, the book that inspired Treasure Island 2020, the 10-part time-traveling, swashbuckling adventure unfolding on BYU Radio and wherever you get your favorite podcasts. It's fun, after an adventure like Treasure Island 2020, to take a look at the story that inspired it. And as we read that chapter, you may have said, hey, in the book, the Admiral Benbow Inn is run by James's dad and not by James's mom. Or you may have wondered about Dr. Livesey, who seems to play such an important part in the first chapter of the book, but doesn't appear in Treasure Island 2020 at all. And we hope you get a chance to talk about the stories you love, what you love about them, what they make you think about, and even how you might have told the story differently if you had written it. You know, when Robert Louis Stevenson cooked up the story of Treasure Island, it was based on a map of an imaginary island drawn for fun on a rainy day in Scotland by Stevenson and his stepson. At first, the title wasn't going to be Treasure Island at all. It was going to be called The Sea Cook, A Story for Boys. Stevenson said it was to be a story for boys, no need of psychology or fine writing. Well, we wanted to do something a little different with Treasure Island 2020. We wanted to make it a story for boys and girls and everyone, kids of all ages, and folks who are still kids at heart. And to create Treasure Island 2020, we went to a guy whose company has been making award-winning, exciting audio adventures for kids and their families for years. The company is called Gen Z Media, and the guy is Ben Strauss. Here's what Ben says about making audio adventures for young audiences.
All kids are, at some point in their life, beginning to be excited and afraid in equal parts about growing up and becoming an adult.
Yeah.
You know, we believe, or at least I believe, that kids are special in the sense that before they identify in any way, in terms of race, religion, anything else, they identify first as kids. And that is who they are before they're anything else.
Yeah.
They could be lots of things, but first and foremost, they're kids. And what's interesting about being a kid is that you're not always a kid. You grow into an adult. So there are so many. It's such an interesting and complicated, fascinating process. And this time when we are moving from kid to adult is scary and fun, like I said. And our stories deal with kids who may not want to go on an adventure or solve a mystery or think they do, and then it becomes too much, but they have to.
Yeah.
And in dealing with these choices and working them out, alone, with their friends, all those decisions are, in some sense, the same decisions that every kid makes.
Ben Strauss of Gen Z Media, talking about the scary, exciting time when kids are moving toward the next part of their lives and getting there by solving problems with friends and family, even by surviving what some people might call adventures. And while not every kid will go back in time to hang out with pirates on the high seas, every kid will have the adventure of going to school for the first time, moving from the home that they loved, trying to decide what they'd like to do when they grow up, going to the dance for the first time, all of these adventures, and any one of a million more adventures that characterize the unique makeup of just about everyone who comes into the world. And of course, a story like Treasure Island can be just good fun, an escape into a fantastical world that it's great to hang out in for a while.
but it could also be the kind of story that helps people understand that they can face the adventures in their lives. The adventures that they wanted and the adventures that they didn't. The adventures that they looked for and the adventures that took them by surprise. And that's what good stories do. I'm Sam Payne, and there's plenty more Treasure Island 2020 for the listening. We hope you'll join us for every exciting episode. And there are plenty of other stories for you and your family, too, on the Appleseed. You can find us online at byuradio.org/Appleseed. For more than 1,000 episodes of the show, and that means thousands of stories, for your listening pleasure, anytime you like. You can Google the Appleseed podcast and subscribe for something new just about every day from the Appleseed. And we always hope that the stories that we bring you here on the show spark memories for you that you can share with the people that you love. Even a fantastical story like Treasure Island 2020 can bring things to your mind, times that you spent at sea or longing to go to sea, times that you met people that you didn't know would be good friends, but they turned out to be good friends, or the other way around. Times when you thought maybe you were in over your head in terms of the adventure that had come into your life. Those are stories worth sharing, worth remembering. And remembering stories like that together can make for new memories that will last a lifetime. Again, it's such a pleasure to be with you here on the Appleseed. The Appleseed is produced by BYU Radio, and of course, we're just one of a family of programs of which we're very proud to be a part. You can listen to other BYU Radio programs like Top of Mind with the Gracie Award-winning host Julie Rose, or The Lisa Show with Lisa Valentine Clark and Richie T, or you can listen to Constant Wonder with Marcus Smith. There's always something great coming from BYU Radio. And again, we're pleased and proud to be part of that family of programs. Our audio engineer is Stuart Foster. The producer of the Appleseed is Jeff Simpson. I'm Sam Payne. We hope you had a good time listening to episode 1 of Treasure Island today. There's a lot more to come. Join us, won't you? We'll see you then.
Thanks for joining us for an hour of stories, music, and conversation made for you and your family and brought to you by the Appleseed. The show is a production of BYU Radio. We'll see you next time.